During the 1 o'clock hour, we'll be able to hear from Myles Garrett as he'll have his first press conference as things get kicked off in Berea as the Browns get set for this season that has a ton of question marks. And if anything, it's going to be very, very interesting. Isn't that that's a fair assessment? You may think they're not going to win four games, but if anything, it is going to be interesting. And I mean, if I was a national beat writer, I'd be like, why do I care about who I think is going to be the fourth place team in the North? But I think when the Browns are relevant, the league is good.
NFL.com yesterday, go right to it. Mm-hmm. It said 10 position battles that they'll be keeping an eye on. And the main picture accompanying the lead story on NFL.com was of four guys wearing orange helmets and orange jerseys.
Hmm. It'd be interesting if somebody got a picture of the four of them crossing Abbey Road. Wouldn't that be a cool little quarterback picture?
Who's out of staff? Which one's out of staff?
You're an idea man, Baskin.
Ringo, I guess. I don't know. I'm just guessing. Who's out of staff?
No, which of the four quarterbacks?
Would Flacco have to be barefoot?
Yeah, Flacco would probably be the barefoot guy. That would make sense. Hmm. And then they could all go up on the rooftop and throw footballs down at fans. That'd be great.
We hope we pass the audition.
Jeff, how hot is the seat for Kevin Stefanski? I hate to put it that way. I mean, he's 41 and 46. Playoffs, they're, I don't know, what are they? They got one win and a couple losses there. Jeff, it's just I think it's a weird situation to be in when you are the head coach of the Cleveland Browns right now. I mean, normally, if I told you, take away the last name, take away the team, and I tell you you're coming off a 3-win season where you couldn't score more than 2 touchdowns a game, tell me what coach survives that?
A coach who has been given the job of coaching a team that traded for a quarterback who turned out not to be nearly as effective as you thought he was going to be, and a guy who's the coach of a team whose roster is ranked 31st in the NFL out of 32 teams, and you didn't acquire the players.
Well, what's the vibe on the fans? Like, there are so many fans that I think it's a... Do you think it's a majority, it's a minority, it's a vocal minority of fans that think that he is the problem? I actually
There's
do not.
There's a big chunk that do.
Yeah, I don't. And I try to, when someone calls up, they're like, oh, Kevin's got to go, he's got to do this. I'm like, well, let's think about this for a second. Why does Kevin need to go? And then I go back to what you just said. You know, Kevin's just trying to put together the furniture. They handed him these pieces, and sometimes it came without some of the parts. Or some of the parts,
you know,
came
all
broken.
You need is an Allen wrench these days to put together furniture. I mean, that's all it takes.
That is true. I put together a headboard last week. Same thing. All
just
I need
an Allen wrench.
And it came with the Allen wrench. That was pretty. Why have we waited so long for just to do the Allen wrench thing?
I don't know.
It's pretty silly. Think about it. All those
easy
years
to strip spent. Those things though.
So when you look at this season and you say to yourself, Kevin Stefanski, what does he need to do? What does Kevin need to do to make sure he's back here next year? And I'm not going to lie. There's a part of me that if I was Kevin and it didn't work this year or this thing goes completely upside down, I might be ready for a change of scenery. Because I think there are other teams that would look at him. And he maybe has got to sit out at the end of the year as a coordinator for somebody else. But he'll be back. He would be back as a head coach for somebody.
I think the guy can coach, and we've had numerous people in the industry, you know, former coaches, people who know what they're talking about, who think he's a good coach. I think he's a good coach. When he's given talent to work with, I think he gets the most out of it. And I think we'll see more of that this year. Remember, 3-14 last year. What went into 3-14 last year? You lost your offensive line coach. That was a big deal, as it turned out. And that was because you did Bill Callahan a solid. And you also made a move at offensive coordinator trying to do something that was best for probably one person and one person only. And that person was Deshaun Watson. It really wasn't better for the rest of the offense, was it? As it turned out. And it didn't work. And the proof is it didn't work is that you have another new offensive coordinator this year and you're going back to the scheme that you ran before. So I'll be real honest. I have a hard time blaming Kevin Stefanski for that. That said, You roll out another three or four wins, Andy, they'll be looking for a new head coach. I don't care what kind of votes of confidence you get or anything else.
Or you're, what the relationship is.
Right.
Like,
in,
I think
in this business, it's a results-driven business, and three wins in a row, 2 years in a row, that'll get you fired. It just does and will, and I would expect if that's the case, Andrew Berry would be in the same situation.
Could Berry hang out a little bit longer than Stefanski?
No.
You think they're a tandem then?
No, I just think one...
They are of one mind, right?
No, I don't even know that. What I do think is if the ownership is going to make a move with one or the other, they're going to... The thought would be this. Well, while we're at it, we might as well just change it all up. I don't know that they're a package deal. I don't know that they're not. But I would think if one goes, so does the other one. And I think there's more pressure.
Is there a number of wins he has to get this season? If he gets the six, I think he's fine.
If he gets the six, he might be fine. I don't know if Andrew Berry would be.
Six or seven? Seven. What does Berry need then?
I don't know. I think the roster, I've said for some time, I don't think it's a very talented roster. And, you know, we went over ESPN's rankings yesterday. ESPN had them 31st out of 32 teams. Pro Football Focus had their positional groups on offense especially, 27th and lower. After 5 years of being the GM, that's what you have? I mean, sorry, that's more than just you have Deshaun Watson and you took a big swing and a miss. There's more to it than that. They've done a terrible job of adding, adding skill position talent to this team. And I've said it for years. The wide receivers were ranked 32nd. I'm no football expert. If I can see that they don't have wide receiver talent and question marks everywhere, and they've not fixed it, the question I come up with is why? Why haven't you fixed it? And even though running games are, you know, coming back and being stronger, I mean...
Did you not fix it because your hands are tied behind your back because you gave up the first-round picks?
No.
Is that part of it? I think that's part of it, Jeff.
Well, it might be part of it. The bigger part of it is you drafted guys at wide receiver who haven't played well. David Bell was a third-round pick, miss. Anthony Schwartz, third-round pick, miss. I'm not going to do it, but I'm sure you could go back in those very same drafts and look at guys taken afterwards and think, well, that guy's a lot better. My hope is Cedric Tillman breaks that run.
But your highest,
I like Cedric.
So your highest draft pick right now at the wide receiver spot is what? Tillman, third round?
Your draft pick, yeah.
Yeah, of yours.
Yeah, they haven't bothered to invest, you know, higher picks in that position. That's okay. I like Deontay Johnson.
And that's
because
Bell's out, too, by the way. Bell's out.
But he's not played very well.
No, you got to give him the ball to play well, though. I will say that.
Yeah, you got to get open to get the ball.
How do we know he's not open? I'm just asking.
You've watched? I've watched.
I've watched him play before, too. I've seen him open before.
For whatever reason, David Bell's been a non-factor.
That's a fair assessment. I'll give you that.
He's been a non-factor. For whatever
reason. Okay.
It seems to me that guys who have ability become factors. I'm not blaming the offensive system. I'm going to blame the wide receiver.
Although I do think he wants to, I think Kevin wants to tinker with the offensive system again. If you're going to go back and.
Well, he's going to go back to what they did.
Yeah, but heavy it with tight ends. And by the way, you put a fullback back in the system, right?
Great. It's worked for this coaching staff.
I'm good with that. I wonder who that's based for. Is that based for Flacco or Pickett, Gabriel Sanders?
All of them.
If the offense is going to sing. How is it going to sing well? But I'm telling you, not having Judkins here is not, like, I think that's a punch in the stomach.
The other guys will do fine. I think Judkins has a chance to be special.
So does Sampson, though. I think Sampson has a chance to be something special, yeah. Too.
I hope so.
I mean, we're talking about one of the best players in the SEC last year.
Yeah, that doesn't mean much.
Really?
No.
I disagree with that.
Okay.
I think if you can succeed in one of the big conferences, your odds are much greater than they were if you were trying to succeed.
Well, then Dylan Gabriel should be just a slam dunk at quarterback.
Well, I mean, he wasn't better than the guy that went to Pittsburgh who won a national championship. So is that how you want to? Dylan Gabriel should be good. Yeah. I mean, look, I don't know how you can. How can you give experience before a guy gets to the NFL greater than playing in crowds of more than 60,000 and having success and being able to win and do it in front and have all kinds of pressure because you're in a system, especially with NIL now, where the pressure is great. Is it equal to the NFL? No. But in some cases, you know, you take a look at Shedeur Sanders, he's pay cut to come to the NFL compared to college. Even I thought it was interesting, and not that I normally like to think about anything he says is interesting, but, you know, Johnny Manziel saying, I would have stayed in college because I would have made a lot more money. Yeah, you probably would have, and been more successful with a coaching staff that just said, here's the ball, go. Unfortunately, they like to coach in the NFL. They like to take the most intelligent guys with the most skill and the most athletic ability and put them together and try to, you know, have them work in a harmonious tune among them 11 players out there. In college, you can kind of get away with some stuff that you can't get away with in the pros. And so that's why that was a failure and probably should have stayed in college. And, man, I wish you would have, because it would have changed the outlook of what our franchise was. But you can't go back on that. You got to move forward with what you've got. And I look at this team and I want good things for them. I'm just scared that it's just not. You're right. The wide receiving core is
NFL. It's got one player and two big question marks that better come through, or you're going to be weak.
And that all lays on what's going to happen with Kevin Stefanski at the end of the season too, because I think that storyline is going to be hanging, you know, from today moving forward till the end of the season. Although wins could dissipate it. If they keep winning, then you don't have to worry about it. Mary Kate Cabot, she'll join us next, and you know where she'll do that, right here on 92.3 The Fan. Mary Kate getting set to cover Browns camp. They are all there, and to make sure you know what's perfectly going on, we turn to Mary Kay Cabot from the Plain Dealer in Cleveland.com. Make sure you read her every day. She has all kinds of great stuff, and she is right now on the Fan Hotline. Hi, Mary Kay. How are you?
I'm great, guys. How you doing?
Hi, Mary Kay.
We are doing well. Do you have any insight on David Bell, what's going on there, and why he's not on the roster right now?
Well, it's not exactly the dislocated hip. It could be related in some way, but this is a different issue. Hmm. And when we get a chance to talk to Kevin Stefanski today, we'll be able to ask him about that. But right now, there are really no details forthcoming about David. But as I've written a couple times, I think there's a pretty good chance we're not going to see him for a little while.
Gotcha.
And with that thought in mind, Mary Kay, the weakest position on the team, in theory, becomes even weaker because you were hoping David Bell might be able to step in and do something. Are they okay with that, apparently?
Yeah, I mean, I think they've kind of known for a little while that this was trending in this direction. And so, yeah, I think they were prepared for it. They've got a lot of really good young receivers, so they can get through camp. They can get through their two spotting really well with all the young guys that they have on this roster. So they'll be okay from that standpoint. And then if they feel like they need to add another more experienced receiver as time goes along, they'll keep their eyes peeled for that.
All right, Mary Kay, let's have the call to the post. Give us your, as they enter the gates, give us the four quarterbacks in order.
The four horsemen.
Yes.
I would say, I wrote this the other day, that I think that Kenny Pickett perhaps still has a slight edge heading in, but that is only, I'm only going by really what they were doing in minicamp and OTAs. If they jumbled that up, we don't know about it yet. So the first thing that happens today is we will talk to some players, include not the quarterbacks today. We will talk to Myles Garrett a little bit later today. Everything starts late today and tomorrow. So we'll talk to Myles and then a couple other guys, Denzel Ward, and then we'll talk to Kevin Stefanski and we'll get a better idea. We don't watch practice until 4:30 today.
Ooh.
We have to wait until 4:30 to see who is doing what. But in the early going, they're still going to be doing so much two spotting on the two different fields with concurrent QB drills and passing drills and 7-on-7s going on, that it might not be easy to see exactly what they're thinking in terms of the imaginary depth chart. I don't think that will really begin to take shape until a couple of weeks from now.
So is it Pickett, Flacco, then what?
Well, yeah, I would go Pickett and Flacco, who have the best chance of starting week one at this moment, and then Dylan and then Shedeur.
Do you think it'll be telling when we see, you know, and as you said, it's going to be tough when they're spreading these guys out and two guys on each field and everything else. Will it be telling when they finally start to roll out quarterbacks maybe in a specific order for practice as to who the starter will be? I would think so.
Well, I've been saying this all along. Really, I think the flashpoint, the time to watch, is what goes on when they are in Philadelphia practicing against the Eagles for those two joint practices, because I think that's when they really have to see what their top contenders can do against a Super Bowl champion defense. So I think that's really a point to watch right there, because I think what's going to happen is you'll probably see Kenny and Joe taking most of those starting reps in those two practices. And then I think Dylan and Shador will probably split the game. That's just my guess at this point. But that's basically what they have done in the past. They rest the veterans a lot after they practice so hard against the starters in those two practices. But once they get home from Philadelphia, it's my opinion that they really have to know, they have to have a pretty good idea of who their starter is going to be, because it's go time after that. The season starts within 3 weeks after that, and you've got to get these guys ready to play.
If you're Kevin Stefanski, what is your demeanor heading into this thing? Should he be looking over his shoulder, worried about having to get every win? Should he just, how do you approach the season if you're Kevin Stefanski?
Well, first of all, they hired Kevin Stefanski for his unflappable nature in the beginning. So he is not someone that you have to worry about from that standpoint in terms of him looking over his shoulder and worrying about those kinds of things and outside noise and social media and hot seats and what people are saying about him. That is not how he rolls. That's not how he operates. So he will go out there and do what he's always done and do this job to the best of his ability. I know he's excited about this season. I know he's excited about his staff. They're really excited about the guys that they assembled to get this offense up and running again in terms of Tommy at coordinator. And obviously you've got Mike Bloomgren coaching the offensive line and some other changes. And I think that he feels really, really comfortable with what he has there. And then again, as we've talked about so many times, this is a fact-finding mission. Do they have their quarterback of the future on the roster, or do they have to draft that guy next year in the first round?
Mary Kay Cabot joining us, plaindealercleveland.com. Mary Kay, I think we're all assuming, thinking, that this offense is going to look more like what Kevin Stefanski's offense used to look like. Do you think that's fair? And do you see any other twists with Tommy Rees and that Kevin might put in this year?
Well, I think it's going to be dependent in part on who the starting quarterback is. You can do different things with the different quarterbacks. If you have Joe Flacco in there, you're not going to use a lot of quarterback movement. You're going to focus a lot on explosive plays, hoping that he can cut down on those interceptions. If you have Kenny Pickett in there, then you can use his athleticism and his mobility, and you can run some RPOs and keepers and all kinds of different things that you can do with a more mobile quarterback. Dylan, he's got a very well-rounded skill set. And then to a certain extent, same thing with Shador. There's nothing that he really can't do, but he's also not extremely mobile. So it's not going to be the same apples to apples between like a Shador and a Kenny. But Dylan does have some of that mobility as well. So I think when you look at it from that standpoint, it's going to come down to who they decide to start at quarterback and what the offense will look like tailored around that player's strengths. And I think that Tommy brings a little bit of a different element. He's bringing some of that college game. He's bringing some of those college concepts. And so I'm sure he would love to be able to utilize that, some of that stuff with a more mobile quarterback.
Mary Kay, let's talk about the defense for a second. Mason Graham and Carson Swester, but two rookies that legitimately have a shot and probably should be starters this year. Your thoughts on that and having two rookie starters on D?
I'm looking forward to seeing those guys, and I can't wait to see them when the pads first come on, which I don't think is going to be until next Wednesday. So looking forward to seeing that. Now, unfortunately, as I've been writing and as the Browns announced yesterday too, that Mike Hall is not going to be in there yet with Mason Graham, and that's going to be the big payoff when you get to see those two guys in there together wreaking havoc getting to the quarterback. But I think we're going to have to wait a little bit at least to see when Mike Hall is going to get back there, because he's starting on PUP. But that'll be exciting when those two guys can get in there together. And that's what it's all about, just getting that push up the middle, see quarterback, get quarterback. Carson, he should bring some of those JOK elements to the table. There's a lot that he can do from a coverage standpoint. He can blitz. He can do a lot of things. He's a good hustling tackler. So looking forward to seeing him as well. He's a very smart, smart player. And I think those guys represent a nice big upgrade on defense.
Mary Kay, how do you see the linebackers lining up? Carson in the middle?
Yes, I would say Carson in the middle. But all these guys have the versatility to do all the different positions. So they'll find the three best guys to get out there when they have three on the field. And sometimes they won't have three on the field. You know, sometimes they'll have two. Sometimes maybe they'll even have one, and they'll do some different things with their safeties. And they'll do some different things with their defensive linemen. But for the most part, I think you'll see Carson out there a lot. I think you'll see Jordan Hicks. I think you'll see Jerome Baker. And then you got some young guys that are going to be vying for playing time in Buki Watson and Muhammad Diabati and some of these other young guys.
Devin Bush's situation, is he going to be okay?
Well, he's going to report, and we'll have to see how it plays out. He might end up with a suspension from the NFL, too. We don't know about that yet. The Browns have been kind of mum on what they think is going to happen with these guys. So really hard to say, but Devin participated in OTAs and minicamp, so I expect him to be out there practicing today.
Mary Kay, I don't know if you just alluded to it, but maybe you did a little bit. Give me the player that isn't on someone who's a fan, it's not front of mind, not a starter, but a guy that ends up becoming like the camp darling. We always have that every year. Anybody you keep your eyes out for on that?
The camp darling.
You know what I'm saying? Like somebody who gets hot during camp, you're like, oh, this guy's like, Jamari Thresh kind of was the guy for me last year like that. I was like, wow.
What was he ever, Mary Kay?
Well, I just like the way he plays. I think he's an exciting player and has the opportunity to be that.
He could be actually pretty good this year.
Yeah. I mean, it could be Jamari Thresh again this year. I don't know. But give me a guy that you keep your eye on, fans, that you might be like, this guy is a keeper.
Well, you can put Jamari Thresh into that category again this year. He had a really nice spring. And as you mentioned, with David Bell out, this presents more opportunities for some of these other receivers. But also Harold Fannin. I mean, you've got to watch Harold Fannin. He's really good. And they're going to play a lot of two tight end sets. And Harold Fannin is going to make plenty of noise in this camp. He is definitely somebody to watch. And when we talk about the receivers, you have to factor in Harold and David because they are part of the receiving core, basically, or they're part of the pass-catching core. And so those guys are going to loom very, very large. The other one, keep an eye on Dylan Sampson. With Quinshon not being out there right now, Dylan is going to have more of an opportunity. And I also think that Jerome Ford is going to say, hey, look at me. Don't forget about me. They went out, they drafted two running backs, and I think that's going to be a motivating factor for him.
Mary Kay, I like Cedric Tillman a lot, and I love what he did when Jameis was throwing him the football. And then, unfortunately, the concussion kept him from building on that. How do you see him? Do you think that the games with Jameis were a glimpse of what's ahead, or were they an aberration?
No, I do think that they were a glimpse of what's ahead. And I think with these young guys, you see the lights come on more and more every year in their first couple of years. And I think that'll be the same with Cedric, even though he missed six games with concussion last year. I think you're going to see him take his game up to another level. The key with him, of course, is to stay healthy. That's going to be number one for him because they really are counting on him. And most of the time, they are not going to be playing three wides. They're going to be playing in two wides. And a lot of those times, he's going to be the second one with Jerry Jeudy. So he's definitely somebody to watch. And I think that these are things to watch in camp. Can the quarterbacks get the ball to these top pass catchers? And that will go a long way towards deciding who's going to be the week one starter.
Mary Kay Cabot, as always, we appreciate your perspective. We'll be reading you every day, especially now, man. We expect everything out of you when we turn to Cleveland.com. And so, Mary Kay, you've always got all the great information. And so we are looking forward to seeing what you have over camp and then as we get ready for the season. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary Kay.
Thank you, guys.
All right, Mary Kay Cabot, Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com.